May I speak to you in the name of one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but music has always been a language that speaks to my soul. Ever since early humans heard the melodies and calls of birds and other animals, people have loved hearing their favorite tunes. Its countless styles and beats are as different as the people who make or listen to it. Listening to some of my favorite songs can boost my mood and make me feel more optimistic. For me, music is an integral part of the human connection with the divine. Music has narrated different parts of my life. When I was a young child, I remember listening to Stevie Wonder, the Bee Gees, Billy Joel, and the great Michael Jackson. My teenage years were all about bands like Poison, Duran Duran, and artists like Madonna and Prince. The music of my college years, the 90s, is best left forgotten. As an adult, I enjoy a wide range of music. If you were to look in my iPhone playlist, you would find everything from Broadway soundtracks to country hits, from hip-hop to popular Christian. But there is a common thread through almost all of my favorite tunes, and that is love. I'm a sucker for a good love song. What do you think when you think of a love song? What comes to mind? For me, it's Endless Love by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. Maybe I'm Amazed by Paul McCartney. Love Can Build a Bridge by the Judds. And yes, even Love Story by Taylor Swift. The list could go on and on. The other night I typed love songs in a Google search, and it brought up 6,830,000,000 results. That's a lot of love. I wonder, though, if maybe we hear the word so much in the music we listen to, and we use the word in so many ways, that it almost loses its meaning. We love certain foods. We love our favorite sports teams. And we love a relaxing vacation. But do we really do justice to the word love when we use it in this way? Leads me to think about the true definition of love, if there is one. I suppose that love is one of those things that you know it when you feel it, or at least when you feel it, you can define it. This is all well and good when it comes to defining love from a human standpoint, but love doesn't find its definition in us. Instead, if we want to define love, we have to start with God. We start with God because He is the very definition of love. In His very nature, He is love. We can call it an attribute or a characteristic, but it goes further than that. It's His essence. It's who God is. We can see this in many facets of our lives. God is overwhelmingly generous with the blessings He gives to us and to all creation. Why does the sun shine? Because God is love. Why does the rain fall, causing the crops to grow? Because God is love. Why does our heart keep beating? Because God is love. You get the picture. The fourth Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Eastertide, is called Good Shepherd Sunday. We recite Psalm 23, strictly King James Version, and remember that Jesus is our Good Shepherd, willing to lay down His life for us, the sheep of His flock. When Jesus was teaching and healing during the early part of His ministry, there were times when the needs around Him seemed overwhelming, like we were sheep without a shepherd. Our passage from 1 John echoes that sentiment, but John calls us to be more than simple sheep when we choose to follow Jesus. John calls us to love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Loving in truth and action means sacrifice, but it isn't always the kind of action or sacrifice you'd expect. We are called to be like Jesus, to lay down our lives for God and for others. Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and gave sight to the blind. He preached a gospel of repentance because he knew that holiness of heart and life is the only way to connect with the Father. What does this mean for us? By imitating the actions of Jesus, we're able to love others as Christ loved us, hopefully. Laying down our lives may mean sacrificing busy schedules that keep us too occupied to notice another's need. Laying down our lives might mean setting aside our own personal agenda so that we can be part of someone else's story and invite them to be part of ours. Laying down our lives could be taking the time to listen to someone who is hurting. Laying down our lives isn't so much about dying for someone else as it is for living for someone else. Putting their needs ahead of our own as an act of love. Laying down our lives brings us closer to the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. I think it's through our love for one another that we bear witness to the transformative power of Christ's love within us. When we extend love and compassion to those around us, we reflect that very essence of God's character. Loving others transforms us into the people God created us to be. Maybe you remember our presiding bishop Michael Curry's sermon from the wedding of Prince Harry to Meghan Markle. And if you have not seen it, I strongly recommend a YouTube search for it. But it was a beautiful, unexpected, a bit scandalous, if you're the royal family, gift from across the pond, as they say. In this sermon, Bishop Curry said, "Think and imagine a world where love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, then no child would go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty would become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all God's children. And when love is the way, we actually treat each other well. We treat each other like we're actually family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of us all, and we are brothers and sisters, children of God." Now, Bishop Curry didn't spend his time here talking about loving things, but rather about loving people. We may say we love others, but how do we consistently demonstrate that love? John says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" We love by sharing what we have: our time, our abilities, our money, and our special gifts. We serve those in need to show our love for God and for them. As Paul puts it in Romans, "Let love be genuine. Put your faith into practice because love is a demonstration of that faith." This is how we make disciples. This is how we make disciples for the transformation of this world. Instead of seeing ourselves as the generous benefactor and others as the poor recipient of our generosity, we can start seeing each person we meet as a beloved child of God who brings value to this world. A person precious in God's eyes, created in God's likeness, just like you and me. Recognizing that each person has something to offer to the community of faith, we can begin to see everyone as a contributor in some way to our common good as the whole body of Christ. Sometimes, oftentimes, we will fail. Sometimes we just don't do a very good job of paying attention to the needs of others because our own needs are so great. We doubt our own capacity to love and beat ourselves up for not seeing the need around us. God is gracious. John writes that Christ will reassure our hearts whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. He knows our desire to follow Him, even when we fail. And we can go to Him in confidence that He will respond to our desire to do His will. I think God, He must be a fan of love songs. I think they often resonate with people, these love songs, because they express universal emotions and experiences related to love, longing, and heartbreak, which many can relate to. Additionally, love songs often convey a sense of hope and connection, which can be comforting and uplifting. They offer a chance for us to relate to others. They are good for the soul and in most cases relevant to our life experiences, just like God's word. Just like God's great story of love in the Bible. We may understand music as our soundtrack, and love is an emotion that needs a soundtrack, if ever there was one. So how do you define love? What would your life's soundtrack or playlist sound like? This, friends, I know for sure. You and I won't die because of our sins. We will live because love led Jesus to the cross. Love led Him to the cross. Time and time again throughout the Bible, we can see these examples of Jesus loving people, and so should we. Jesus believed the actions of a person did not matter when it came to loving them. All that mattered was the fact that God created them. Loving people unconditionally is the example that Jesus set for each of us to follow. Now go show that kind of love to each other. Amen.